Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's sure good to see everybody here. It is wonderful to have this privilege and opportunity given to us by our God to come together this day. Thank you and pray that you'll come back and be with us again this afternoon at 5 o'clock. Those of you that are visiting, we strongly encourage you to come and be with us. It would be great to see you if you have the chance to do so. There is something special that I like to do next Sunday night. A lesson that I like to do specifically for all the young people. And in doing so, I'm going to ask there to be just a moment of which you change your normal places of seating. So to do that, I'd like to have all the young people sit on the first four or five rows here, or however many it takes. I'm going to let you guys be in charge of this. You move, kindly move, I won't say emphatically move, but if you would just find yourself dispersed at some other part of the building and occupy, let you, all of you people, some of you are already here, so that's good, but it, if you can occupy the first three rows, probably will be sufficient. And I want to address these young people here specifically during that time. I got to thinking a lot about some of the reports that we've been hearing so much about our president this week, about things that pertain to, whether you call it classified or unclassified documents that for some reason are hidden. I've been put somewhere and all of a sudden here they come. They just come flying out. There's been a lot of people that have mocked that, made fun of it. Some people have been very serious about it from a political standpoint. Some people are very upset about all that. Then I got to thinking about me. I got to thinking, what would it be like if somebody came into my garage? And I'm sure some of you are thinking, nobody's coming in my garage. Nobody's going to come see what's in my garage. There's no telling what you'd find there. And some of you that have things stored up for over X number of months and years, you know there's going to be a lot of dust flying when they start looking through all this, and they're probably going to think a little bit more about you from what they find out. They're going to find out a little bit more about you than what they've ever learned and understood before. And you're going to find out some things about yourself that you forgot that were there all along. But then I got to think about, what do you do with all that? What do you do with all that information? What would you like to do with everything about your past? Things that are hidden, things that are outside of everybody's sight and nobody knows about it. If your name is on the internet in any fashion, people can find you. Social media, they'll find you. It's all over the place. It's amazing how detectives come up with understanding a little bit more about you through all those internet sources that they've got now than they used to not have available to them. I bring all that up to say, when you're talking about what's going on in the book of Mark chapter 5, here's a man. A man possessed by an evil spirit. And here we are several years later. And we read the story about this man. And I'd say this man was right here in front of all of us today. I doubt very seriously. He would want you to know about what he looked like. How he appeared. What was going on in his life. No one would, in his mind, he will want no one to know about what's happened to him. Yet, on his body were the scars. On his body was where he was cutting himself. Whether it was on his legs, whether it was on his face, whether it was on his arms, he was cutting himself. So the scars would have been there, probably. But he might not look like a man who had an unclean spirit at one time. And the thing about it was, you couldn't physically bind him. The demons were so powerful. The evil was so intense. The spirit was so overwhelming. No one could bind him. No one could chain him. No one could hold him down. Yet he was isolated. Physical bondage that happens in this man's case is one thing. And I would say if you talk to the officer April out here, there's probably a lot of people that she's taken into prison. And I don't know that any of us would ever, hopefully, experience what the isolation of that looked like being confined, have no freedom, only told what to do at certain times, have no authority to do anything other than what you were told to do. Being confined to a specific room or area, you could not get away. But the worst part about this is a lesson that we're going to learn, not about the physical bondage that could not be given, but the spiritual bondage of which it could not be released. The book of Ephesians chapter 6 talks about that coming as a result of the world rulers of darkness, the evil, a power that exists, it says, principalities against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. That is a bondage of which a lot of people, some of which are in this room this morning, either are, maybe I should say have, or are experiencing. It's an antisocial, isolated moment. They feel tormented. They feel that this evil spirit's continuing within them. It's so intense. It's so overwhelming. And they do wish somebody could release them. But they believe that it's not possible. They'll never get past it. They'll never get free from it. They're not shackled outside. They're just shackled within their heart in bondage. And they wake up with it every day. And they explain to people, you just don't know how it's like to feel this way. You don't know what I'm experiencing. You don't know how intense this is making me. You don't know how antisocial. I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to be around anybody. I don't want you to know what's going on in my closet or in my garage. I wish I could tell you, but I just can't come to the point of explaining it, because I don't think you can help me. I don't think you can make me free. Jesus, according to verse 1, comes to the other side of the sea. He comes out of the boat, and straightway in verse 2, there meets him a man out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. Could you imagine if you were to go down the road and pass a cemetery, all of a sudden the grave opens up and here comes this man and greets you? What an overwhelming situation that would be. You would not want that experience at all. You'd run. We all would run. And I wonder sometimes whether or not there are people that would like to come to you and talk to you about the difficulties that they're having with their sin, but they only know that you're running the other direction. And if we're the Christians who have the good news, why should we run the other way? Why would we be the people who have been saved from our own sins run in a direction away from somebody that comes to us wanting the freedom from the spiritual bondage? Wow. That puts a hefty responsibility on me. So here's some things we should think about. This moment that's experienced in the book of Mark chapter 5 is a confrontation of the powers of hell and the power of heaven. And it's probably not, and we might think, that the day of the crucifixion of Jesus was the ultimate of the confrontation of the evil of hell and the power of heaven. Rightly so. But this one is prior to that moment that sometimes we might dismiss as a powerful moment of which Jesus is going to show his power over the power of Satan. And he doesn't shed any blood yet. One of the things that you will notice here is when this event is over, how do you view Satan? Never find yourself coming to the point that you believe the power doesn't exist. It is powerful. It is intense. It can strike you down. It can take you further than you'd ever want to go. And not only that, avoid the possibilities of seeing how wonderfully powerful it is and how captivating and controlling it is And then finding yourself wanting to covet its pleasures and all the things that go with it. That sometimes is how people look at the power of Satan. That violence, that abuse, that control, that significance, that's where they want to go. So avoid the fact that it doesn't exist and avoid the fact that you want to covet its power and its destructive nature. But really believe Satan is set on destroying you physically. But he's also more willing to destroy you spiritually. If he can get inside you, like Mark chapter 7 talks about in verse 20 to verse 23, they were talking about washing your hands. That was the most significant thing. Keep yourself clean. Everything on the outside was most important. But he says what's going on inside you is what's of greater significance, because that's what's going to control your mouth. That's what's going to control your feet, your hands. That's what's going to control every behavior you've got. That's the greatest bondage you could ever experience. Something on the outside that I just cannot release. I just cannot get past. Mark did a very good job by helping us understand that last Sunday night in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 to verse 17, this battle that takes place between the flesh and the spirit. Go back and listen to that again. What you do see pretty clearly in this moment is that this unclean spirit recognizes Jesus, the Son of God, the power, a power deserving of worship as he bows down. A power that can appoint a destiny. It's very parallel to what Jesus had said in the book of Luke chapter 12, verse 4 and verse 5. There are people that fear these powers from the outside, and all that they can do to you bodily, harm you, kill you. But then he mentions something in the book of Luke chapter 12 as well to say, it's not that power that you should fear, it's the power that comes from God. That can send both body and soul to hell. So therefore, when this demon comes to him and recognizes his power, that's a very significant moment to understand Jesus is the power that people need to go to for the freedom, for the release, for the escape and the refuge. There's no spirit that can do what Jesus does. Especially when it comes to a spirit within us that we think can never be removed. To give hope to an individual, to see that an evil spirit can be removed, it would be almost like you're saying, you have come to discover something nobody else has discovered. You've come up with a cure nobody else has come up with. And in this moment here, here's Jesus being approached by a man with an evil spirit, knowing of his power, and it's almost as if to say there is a possibility that it might be removed. And Jesus is the one that we should look to understand there is no spot within our life. There's no unclean evil spirit that cannot be removed. And also, Jesus is the only power of the freedom. And he does it before the death and the resurrection. To me, this is one of the most significant things. Sometimes we kind of pigeonhole the idea of Jesus' power only at its crucifixion, only at its resurrection. But previously, you will notice in Mark chapter 2, what was the first moment of power that Jesus executed? The power to forgive sin. And they questioned that power. You can do this? And here's this demon, the demon-possessed man that comes to Jesus and recognizes the Lord, the God, the Son of God. And the power of God is victorious over every unclean spirit, even before the death and the resurrection. To me, that's so powerful. He's paving the way, Jesus is, for that death and resurrection. Through getting rid of all the demons, through getting rid of all the spirits that exist. But what's the responses here to all this? after the demons are taken out of this man and placed into pigs, in verse 12, they that fed them fled and told it to the city and the country. And they came to see what it was that had come to pass. And they come to Jesus, and behold, him that was possessed with demons sitting clothed and in his right mind, even him that had the legion, and they were afraid. Comes to the people in the city. The people that were feeding the pigs. Now the pigs were demon possessed, and about 2,000 of them walk into the water over the cliff. If you were a farmer and those were your pigs, you would definitely be amazed and astonished. You'd have to tell somebody, guess what happened to my pigs today? You'll never believe it. I didn't believe it, but I saw it with my own eyes. And this man is free from the legion, as it says, placed into the pigs. And here they go, and they go into the city and tell everybody else. And do you know what the response of the people in the city is? Oh, I've got this woman that needs to be healed. I got this man that needs to be healed. I got this person that's on a deathbed. I got this person over here that's got this sickness. No, we're afraid of this guy. Get him out of the city. We don't want him here. They, in verse 15, were afraid, and they saw it declared unto him how it befell him with was possessed with demons, and concerning the swine, and they began to beseech him to depart from their borders. Get away from us. Get away from us. I don't know who all your family members are or friends are, but there's a very good possibility that there are some that are in such a sinful state, and the spirit that was in is within them that's so unclean and evil and corrupt that they don't want you to ask the questions that would expose them. They kind of close the door on the subject. They say, let's not talk about that anymore. Don't ever bring that up again. And all the other excuses they give to not want to talk about it, but also to justify them to continue in it. They're afraid. And here you've lived a life before them that is of holiness, righteousness, and purity, trying to live by faith, and they're not going to let you talk to them about Jesus. We're afraid. We're afraid. So the best thing for you to do is just shut your mouth. Say nothing else about this. This miracle that's happened in this city, in this country, you would think everybody's going to come to Jesus and say, heal me, do this, help me. Deliver this. Grant unto me these blessings. But they just want to continue in their immoral behavior, their pleasures. And so what does Jesus do? He grants them their request, and he wants to leave. He's going to leave. Yet there's one person that wants to stay with him. Verse 18. The man who was freed, and he was entered into the boat, he that had possessed with demons besought him that he might be with him. Can I go? And you can understand why he would want to go with him. I mean, you got a change in personalities. Before picture, after picture, you see the dark, now you see the light. You can understand why he wants to go with Jesus. Jesus gave him freedom. Everybody else wanted to shackle him. Everybody else wanted to bind him. Everybody else wanted to write him off. Everybody else wanted to put him in an institution. And now he's free. I want to go with you, the one that freed me from this bondage, this evil spirit, this unclean spirit, this corruption. And the possibility, if he stayed, the spirits would come back. I don't want to take any chances that this happens again. I don't want this going on anymore. But now you find yourself in a situation where you realize Jesus' commission to the freed man is go tell everybody. Which is contrary to what happened in the book of Matthew chapter 8 verse 4. When the leper was healed, don't tell anybody. when Jairus' daughter was recovered in the book of Luke chapter 8, don't tell anybody. But in this one, he says, go tell people that are your friends. Go to the house and tell them. He puts a commission in front of them to talk to them about the freedom that he's experienced. Talk to them about this release. Jesus knows where the news of this freedom really needs to come. And to this city is where it needed to come. In the areas of the Sea of Galilee. Let these people know about this. You can talk about your past if you'd like to. But what would he say to all of his friends? What would be the message he would say? Do you know where I've been? Do you know what happened? Do you know what's going on? Well, let me, he pulls up his sleeve and shows them all the scars from where he cut himself. Let me tell you what it was like living in the tombs. Let me tell you what it's like living in those kind of circumstances. It's absolutely terrible. No one in their right mind would want to live in that. And I know you're in the middle of the very same thing. I don't know how many of you have ever been in an audience and there's this man or this woman that stands up and gives testimony of where they used to be as a drug addict. Or some abuse. Or some violence. Or their child was hit by a drunk driver. And the list goes on and on. Of all the many instances of where people are trying to get you to understand, you don't want to go there. You don't want to live in these circumstances. You don't want to be a part of that situation. If there's anything I would want to give you, and that is advice to say, don't start. And some of these people are paralyzed from the waist down. And some of these people have their legs cut off and their arms cut off because of the tragedy. And they give testimony to that. And you're thinking about how remarkable it is just to be alive. And this man, it's remarkable he's still living. Yet through the power of Jesus, he has this ability to go to his friends and speak to them about this unclean spirit. What would he say about this unclean spirit Satan puts in him? It's very similar to what the book of Ephesians chapter 2 verse 2 talks about. I want you to understand what it's like to be of the sons of disobedience. That was the passage in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 verse 2. Walking as a son of disobedience. I want you to know what that spirit's like. He might be one that would say, okay, what you need to do is just be a person who just gets away from it. I want you to know how real this is. I want to tell my story to you and how bad this condition is. I want to reveal to you the power of Satan over me. Avoid it. Don't go by it. Don't touch it. Don't go near it. Don't walk in that way. Which is the words of the wise man in the book of Proverbs chapter 4, beginning of verse 13 to verse 27. Don't go near this. The wisdom says, do not touch this. Take all the precautions. Listen to the warnings. Satan is real. Yet Satan, through my life, has been a defeated foe. And the power, as 1 John 4 says in verse 4, is greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Lord's mercy upon me tells you what has happened. The Lord's mercy upon me. Unclean, washed away. Turns into cleanliness. Which is exactly what the book of Ezekiel talks about. In Ezekiel chapter 36 verse 24 to verse 29. Talks about the unclean turning into the clean through the gift of the Holy Spirit. We have, or maybe we as individuals hopefully have, told others in our house about what God's done for us. Hopefully we read it, we live it, we tell it, we sing it, we teach it. Having been delivered from that unclean spirit is a story worth telling. And it's not just a story made up. It's an event that's happened to us. It is something that's very, very real. But it's not something that cannot be changed and remedied. For when this man goes and starts speaking, in his conversion or in his freedom, that moment of which he addresses this to the eyes and the ears of the people makes a difference. It impacts other people. After hearing what he says to them, they don't go away and say, "I don't believe that guy." It's a very good possibility. They knew the man. And they could point to him and say, "Aren't you the guy that had the evil spirits? Aren't you the person that my parents told me to stay away? Don't go there. Don't touch him. Don't get near him. Believe me when I tell you, you don't want to have anything to do with that person." Maybe they did. Maybe he said that. Maybe they thought that. But for those of us that are Christians, have we delivered to others the impact of our conversion? The unclean spirit that we had. The temptation that we to which we yielded, and then we find ourselves caught and destroyed spiritually and physically. They won't believe me. I just don't think they'll believe me. Yet the life of which you're living is the evidence of the freedom. It's the evidence of the conversion. It's the evidence of the refuge that's been given to you by Jesus the Christ. When you go to the family reunion, when you go to the grocery store, when you go traveling in the car, when you go to the next practice, let people know about this. One of the most interesting things that I think is so significant in this whole thing, it's very parallel to people who, as in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, are dead in trespasses and sin, are participating as sons of disobedience in verse 2. But then in verse 4, it talks about God, but God in His mercy, bringing about freedom. And do you know that in the book of Mark chapter 5, it says in verse 19, "Go to thy house unto thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee and how he had mercy on thee. And he went in his way, began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men marveled." They're marveling at such a change and transformation of life. I would say that there are some people in this room that if that happened to you and they see the transformation, they say, "What a wonderful thing has happened. That God has come to that person and brought them free from that bondage." That I've heard them tell me so many times about they wish they could stop this. They wish they could quit this. They wish they could change this. They wish they could do better about. The ability is being removed from that spirit and now being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because that's the mercy of God shown upon you as an individual. That's so counter to this unclean spirit. Now I come to you. If there is a moment of uncleanness, and I'm not saying you're filthy outside, but you know what's going on inside. The evil spirit that's happening within your life that you know has just absolutely grabbed you, of which you say to others, it will never let go. It will never stop. This is just the way it's going to be. I am so thankful that our God put in print this miracle in Mark chapter 5 to say to me, and I hope speaks to your heart in verse 1 to verse 20, and says, whatever unclean spirit there is that has held you, fastened you, captivated you, and will, you think, never let go, please know the temptation will continue. Yet our God, through His Son Jesus Christ, is the power to be relieved of the uncleanness, to wash away the sins in His blood. Through His mercy, He brings you to the point of saying, I want you to take your recovery. I want you to take your cleansing. I want you to take your healing and take it to somebody else who needs it as your friend. Be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb in your repentance, confession, Jesus, and baptism into this water. To rise up to walk in newness of life and to go about and tell others what great thing God has done. Do what's right while together we sing this song.